Leviticus 19:28. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Thou shalt rise up before thy hoar head, and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God. I am the Lord. And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him. But the stranger that dwell with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meliar, in weight, or in measure. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin shall ye have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe all my statutes and all my judgments, and do them. I am the Lord.
Amen. Amen. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his anointed and blessed word. And now for the New Testament reading from the book of Romans, Dr. Adams.
For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, avenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for compensation. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. Mm-hmm. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law.
Amen.
For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law.
Amen. May God add a blessing to the hearing of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And we're going to speak briefly today on the subject of debtors of the highest law.
Amen.
Debtors of the highest law.
Right.
Amen. Let us have a word of prayer. Eternal God, we bless you. We praise you. We just thank you, Father, for every word that you have spoken, O Lord, in your holy word. We bless you. We give you praise and we give you honor and glory today, Father. And we ask today that you clear our minds, Lord, and speak to our hearts about the words that we have heard here in the sanctuary. Father, we bless you for the privilege to hear. You said, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And so today, God, we ask you to open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts, that we might receive exactly what it is that we need from the word that you have set before us today. We bless you and praise you. We give you the honor and the glory. And we ask you to be in our midst as we study your word. And we ask it in Jesus' righteous name. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Debtors of the highest law. Amen. That term highest is in the English a superlative. It means there is nothing more higher than that. It is the highest. You know, that's as far as you can go. That's why it's called a superlative. Now, we are debtors. And that means that there's something we owe. Of the highest law. Okay? Last week, if you were with us, in case you weren't, I'm just going to brief you today to help you get the flow of our message today. We're studying through the entire epistle to the Romans. So as we continue our trek through the book of Romans today, we encounter God's command that perhaps exceeds all others. And that are written in the Word, because this tells us a simple way. Jesus simplified everything of how we should act and behave on earth. And if we understand the simplicity of what he said, then it'll help us to understand what we should do and not have to worry about. People often ask, well, Pastor, how do you remember all those things in the Bible and all that? And the only reason it is, I'll tell you, is that God has given me a gift to understand and remember. But Jesus simplified everything. He wants everybody, the common person in the church, to understand how to behave and how to apply his word. So he reduced it. A doctor of the law came one day and said, good master, what is the great commandment? He wants to know, what should I really focus my life on? How should I pitch my direction? How can I find which way should I go? And Jesus said that it's written that you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul. You know, and he said, the second is like unto it, you should love your neighbor as yourself. And then he said, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. So really he reduced it down and said the highest law is love. If you just remember to love your neighbor, love God first, supremely above everything, you'll put him at the very highest spot on your list in things that you care about on earth and in your life. Next, love your neighbor as you love yourself. He said it like this in Matthew 7:12. He said, to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Very simple. Just treat people the way you want to be treated. Then you don't have to worry about what does it say in there, you know, in the book. What does the Bible say? Well, you know, think about it. How would you want to be treated? Would you want somebody to steal from you? What's the answer? No. We don't want that, do we? You want somebody to lie to you? No. See, so if you start looking at all those things, if you want to treat people the way you want to be treated, then you would treat them the same way. And then that's just to show love, that you care about them. Right. Don't do anything to anybody you wouldn't want them to do to you. That's what Jesus said. See? And so, and of course, the world is just the opposite. The world says, do unto others first before they get you, you see. And it's a negative twist on what God said. But the highest law is love. If you just concentrate on love, and I don't mean the world's love. Now, we do have to be careful how we identify what is love. Tina Turner said, what's love got to do with it? And she act like it had nothing to do with anything, you see. And so people throw love around that word like it's, you know, just a dirty dish rag or something. But actually, it's a very high thing, a very honorable thing. And so we want to be careful with how we understand what love is. And of course, the Bible even says in 1 John 4, God is love. Okay? Think about it. And then we think about John 3:16, where he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See that? So what did God do? He knew we had a problem that we couldn't fix. All of us were sinners. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. No way we could fix it. So what did he do? The highest love that there is, gave his son. He allowed his son to be crucified for us. In other words, he judged his son instead of us. It was because of one man's sin that we all entered into sin. That's the sin of Adam. So we are hopeless with it. We can't do anything to fix it. We're born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Psalms 51 tells us, David cries out. But God gave his son, who was without a spot or blemish, and allowed him to be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastised for our peace, that by his stripes we are healed, because he loves us. So what we see on the cross is the most supreme example of love there's ever been displayed in the history of time. God sent the only person who could pay the debt and allowed him to pay the debt for us. He gave us a substitute to cover us for whatever sins we have committed so that we don't have to worry about his judgment. He doesn't want you to worry about his judgment. That's why he displayed Christ crucified. And the Bible says that Christ crucified to the Jew is a stumbling block, but to the Greeks foolishness, but unto us who are being saved, it is both the power and the wisdom of God. And so we're going to look at this. Paul is the one writing this, keep in mind, and he was a person who was a legalist. A legalist is a person who thinks they can do something to make themselves right with God. that I can work and I can do good deeds and I can heal and help the sick and I can visit the poor and I'm going to do all this. And when I get through, God is going to say, okay, you're okay with me now. But that's nothing could be further from the truth.
Yes.
I'm going to keep the whole law. I'm going to go down that whole list of the law and do everything it says. People think that. But the fact is, it can't be done. The Bible says it cannot be done. Okay, because no one has ever satisfied God at all on the basis of good works. So that means it's impossible to be right with God based on good works. And so we want to understand what God did. He knew that. That's why he gave his son to be crucified. Now, God did give the Jews a system of law. And we talked last week about being ambassadors of theocracy. And I'm going to just briefly define that. In other words, we're here on earth. We represent heaven because God has given his son for us. He has changed our citizenship. Our citizenship, the Bible says, is now in heaven, where we wait for a Savior, Paul says, who is promised to return, and in like manner as you have seen him go. And we are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air at some time, and we're actually citizens of heaven. If you are born again, God has taken you out of the kingdom of darkness and translated you into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And he has seated you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, it says in Ephesians chapter 1. He chose you in him from the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4. So God selected you and chose you for salvation. And and technically you belong to him already, and we're already seated with Christ, who is at the right hand of God by faith. And all of this has to do with faith in the promises of God. How do we know it's true? Because God said so. It's in his word. He didn't have to say it. But what God did for the Jews back in the days when he separated Israel to be a people for his own possession was he gave them the book of the law. Mm-hmm. The purpose for that was to give them rules and regulations to operate with to keep them separated from the rest of the world who would not believe God. Mm-hmm. So that's the same thing God does for us. If we are believers, we trust God and we want to do what pleases God. So God gave us a book so that we can understand what things do please him. That doesn't mean just because God is willing to excuse you from your sin that he wants you to just live a reckless life and do everything. Because God wants you to be holy. He wants you to be a representative of Christ. He wants people to see Christ when they see you. In other words, the way you treat them has to be tempered with how Christ has treated you. You know, Christ, he treated me really well. Because I didn't deserve it at all. I'm going to speak for myself. You know, I didn't deserve it at all. I was ignoring everything about God. But when I understood that God loved me in spite of that, and he had given his son to be crucified for me, and I had heard that a number of times, but I never really took it to heart. You know, but when you actually take it to heart and you realize that there's nothing that you have, nothing you can do to make yourself clean in God's sight, God knew that already before you were ever born, before you were ever conceived in eternity past, he planned to give his son right at the time that he did. 2,015 years ago he was born. The Bible says the word became flesh and dwelt among us and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's John 1:14. And God had planned this in eternity, that at a moment in time I'm going to take on a body of flesh, be born into the world in order to pay the debt for all the people who have sinned against me, which is all of them, everyone. God planned that in eternity, and he allowed his son to be crucified so that whoever trusts him can know for sure that they are clean. That's the gospel, the good news. That's what we preach. I can't tell you that you can do any work and to make yourself right with God and not be telling the truth. So it's not about that, but the work we do is because God has saved me. God found me when I was in the midst of a total mess. You know, my mess is a little better now, I'm going to have to say. I'm not as big of a mess today as I was when he found me. You know, people always say, I found the Lord. No, you didn't. He found you. You was the one that was lost. God has never been lost, but he found you right in the midst of your mess. And he woke you up to understand that you are in a mess. And you know what? I had to be in a pretty serious mess to think I needed God. Sometimes we wait till we're in a mess and then we call on God. You know, and that's okay. It's all right if that's the case. But when you do, God already knew you were in a mess. He already provided a provision of his son to be crucified for you so I can give you perfect righteousness. That's the good news. That's what makes the gospel good news. Is that you learn that, wow, you mean to tell me I've I've been struggling like this and sin all my life in the grip of Satan, and I could have been free. All I had to do was trust Christ. That's the truth. That is the absolute truth. That's why we call it the gospel. And so you see me here happy today to tell you, because I want everybody to know, you don't have to be lost. God doesn't want you lost. He wants you saved. He gave his son to save you. If you trust him, he will do everything he said. It's impossible for him to lie. And so basically here, I want you to see that the law was given to give Israel a guideline or a measuring stick to measure themselves against what is right and what's wrong. Did we need that? Yes. You know why? Because the whole rest of the world who doesn't believe God is doing their thing. They're doing what they want to do. But we want to do what pleases God. And we want to get his message out to everyone in the world so that they know he's not mad with you. There's some people struggling right now. They're in mental depression because they have not trusted God. They don't know God is sitting there waiting to bless them. So who's going to tell them? Me. I'm going to tell them if I get a hold of them. If I don't and you see them first, you tell them. You see what I'm saying? You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to sit up here and wonder, why am I going through changes and all that. That's the devil and your flesh oppressing you in the world. What you need is to be set free. The gospel is liberating. It sets you free. It lets you know God's not against me. God is for me. That's why I'm still here. Even though I've been going through all of whatever I went through, it didn't take me out. God has preserve you. I like those twins, Sister Julia talked about, goodness and mercy. They've been following you all the time and you haven't noticed that they're back there. You know, the psalmist says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So the theocracy, that whole idea is living in the world which is fallen and corrupted under the authority and the rule of God. We know God is the true king. He's on the throne. He has the highest law that there is, which is love. He has loved us. He's given his son for us and put it in time so it can't be denied. There's no way you can deny it. If you do, you got to reject a whole lot of history to deny Christ. Because Christ is in the world. He came into the world. He was crucified. Everybody knows he came. They just don't know why he came, and they don't believe what he came for. That's the big difference. And you and I are those who do believe. We know that God sent him to save wretches from their sin, of which I am one. I'm the chief. I'll be like Paul. I'll take that resident, since he's not here now, I think I'm the chief of sinners now. But I'm trying to do better. I am actually doing better. You see? Because God is working with me in my life. So he gave the Jews the book of the law to guide them so they wouldn't be going to the same kind of things that the pagans were doing. A good example is here. This is only an example from the book of Leviticus chapter 19 verse 28. He says here, you shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead. This is the kind of stuff the pagans were doing. Nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Now, do we have people violating that today? We do. But now, it doesn't mean you're condemned. It just means that God is trying to draw you a line to show you the difference between people who follow me and reasons why people do. I think people do stuff like that today frivolously just because it's a trend and everyone else does it. So God wants you to notice who you are and walk in a way that's acceptable to him. And it doesn't mean if you've done any of this that it's a problem necessarily. But you want to see that God gives you a line, a way to measure what's holy and what's unholy. Now notice this. He says in verse 29, do not prostitute thy daughter. That means to sell her for money, to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall into whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. We have a lot of that kind of stuff going on today. You know, ye shall keep my Sabbaths. In other words, don't get so occupied in whatever it is you're doing that you don't take a day to rest and acknowledge me in your life. See that? And reverence my sanctuary. That means show up with the people of God to be instructed in what's right. I am the Lord, he says. Regard not them that have familiar spirits. I look at this every time I go past one of these places where they have the spiritual hand reader and all that. I go, now what do people actually go there and spend money and they call the psychic hotline and you want to get connected with the dead and all of that. You know what? The only connection I want to have with the dead is my old flesh is dead and my new flesh is alive in Jesus Christ. I trust God who raised his son out of the grave. He has the solution to the problem of death. I don't want to hear anything from somebody who professes that they do, because you're evidently connected with the devil. Or you wouldn't be seeking after familiar spirits. And he says, neither seek after wizards. to be defiled by them. See, that defiles you because it has you mingling with the dead. And look at all the stuff in culture today where you have so much of that. Such stuff like Harry Potter and people are just summoning demons and all kinds of stuff. You know, God is not pleased with that. So he gave them rules to show them stuff to separate them from the rest of the people. We still have it today. It amazes me that these things still go on. Notice this. He says, basically in verse 32, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. That means a gray head. A person who has lived many years. They've got wisdom. Show them respect.
Yes.
Rise up and respect to them is what this means. You notice that? It says, and that's what that term hoary head, we don't use that much today, but it just means a person with gray hair. And honor the face of the old man. See that? And fear thy God. In other words, old people didn't get old for nothing, but you know, they got old because they have wisdom. They have acquired knowledge and wisdom, and you can learn something from them. So you ought to give them respect. Respect your elders. We could reduce that to one phrase. Verse 33. And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, you shall not vex him. You know what? We really need to read that for the church. If people come in, they're weird, they're a little different than what you are because you've been in the church a while, and God has adjusted you quite a bit, and somebody else comes in and they're dragging in some kind of way, or they're not dressed the way that you think they should be dressed, don't vex them. All you got to do is think back a few days. You was pretty strange looking yourself not too long ago. You see what I'm saying? So you are to receive them, whoever they are. They come here, they're welcome. I tell homeless people out here all the time, please come here.
Yeah.
Don't worry about what you have on. We are here to bless you with the truth. You know, when you get the truth, then you can, the truth will make you free, Jesus said. See, so I can't go judging you based on how you look, what you're wearing, or did you do anything? No, come on in. This is the house of the Lord. We respect you. We're going to treat you just like we treat everybody else. But the stranger, he said, that dwelleth with you shall be as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. Look at that. Why? For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. They were in a foreign land. They were disrespected. Think about what Sister Adams told us about the way people were treated back in the older days. You know, should we carry a grudge and go around beating the drum to try to drum up trouble for people because they did that? No. Respect the government, respect authorities. Thank God that he moved us into a higher place in the world.
Yes.
We don't have to go around trying to get our pound of flesh because of what your dad did me. Holding a grudge. Don't do that, he says. You know, even though his people were treated poorly in the land of Egypt. See that? But know this, I'm on the throne. I let you go through that. Whatever you went through, I allowed it.
Yes.
You know what? You are a better person because of it. You went through that thing, and now you're better than you were.
Amen.
You came out of the like a metal tested in fire. You came out better.
Yes.
You got more attitude. Your attitude is better. You can endure longer. You can take more strife and suffering. You know what? You need some of that.
Amen.
In this world, you really need it. If you're going to get along in this world, you need to be tempered.
Amen.
So I think all that stuff I went through, God tempered me to be the person that I am now.
Mm-hmm.
Now notice what else he says here. We'll move along. He says, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment.
Yes.
See that? In other words, all your stuff you need to do right. You, in your meteor, this would be where they the unit of measure and weight. It says here, or in measure, just balances, just weights, a just ephod, a just hin shall ye have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. In other words, when you do your business, be honest. Do it right. You don't have to cheat your way through anything. Just do it right. Be fair. Be honest. Don't try to tilt the books and all this kind of thing and cook the books and all that. Do the right thing. I got your back. I'll bless you for being honest, doing the right thing. You don't have to cheat your way through the world. It's what God is saying. I know what's going on. Somebody else may not. But I am the higher authority. I'm seated on the highest throne there is. And my law is higher than theirs. So no matter what they do or where they're coming from, I got your back. See, so that's what we have to remember. We have to go ahead and just remember that God loves us and he'll make a way. We don't have to cheat our way through anything. See that? So this is what he told the Jews. Now notice this here as we look at bring this section to a close. He says, therefore ye shall observe all my statutes and all my judgments to do them. I am the Lord. In other words, if we can focus on obedience,
mm-hmm.
obey what you understand about God.
Yes.
God says, if you do that, I will bless you.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you got to do. Try him. Test him. And see, won't he bless you?
Yes, he will.
I guarantee you he will. So this is the higher law we talk about. And notice, I'm going to tell you why. We'll see it here as we look at the verses in the book of Romans in chapter 13. But I want you to understand that whether it's in a theocracy, which is what we talk about, that's where the Israelites had a theocracy, which was a government under the dominion and control of God, who was on the throne.
Yes.
He was in the midst of all their affairs.
Yes.
He was in the midst of everything they did, and he wanted to be because he loves you. If you love him, you don't mind God being in the midst of what you do.
Amen.
I love him. I want you to be in my decision to buy a house or a car or whatever I'm trying to do, or to get a job or whatever it is I'm doing, or to pick a husband or a wife.
All right.
I need you in the midst of that because I don't want to make the wrong or do the wrong thing and make a mistake.
Amen.
You know, I want to know your counsel on everything I need to do.
Yeah.
You know, because I know you love me.
Yeah.
Somebody over here might have let me down. Might have been my mother or my father or my sister or my brother. Or somebody close to me might have let me down. But you know what? You have never let me down. So I want you in the midst of everything I'm doing. And I want to pray. I want to seek your face. You know, that's why he said, remember that if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. We want the land healed. Trust God. Call on him.
Yeah.
Turn away from wicked things and let God bless you. And he said he will heal the land, the whole land. This is a sick land we live in. We were flipping channels last night and we saw something like, my God, you got to be kidding me. It was pure pornography right on the TV on a regular channel. I don't even know what channel it was. I said, how did that get on the TV set? You know, that's because it's being piped in. You got the sewer being piped right into your house. Think about kids who are at home and their parents are not there. You look here and you see some kind of a sex act going on TV on a regular channel. Like, wow, how'd that get on there?
Yeah.
You know, you do what you can to avoid that kind of thing, and bam, here it is, right on your TV set. You know, so you really have to watch out today. So it doesn't make any difference whether it's a theocracy or we call ours a democracy over here or any other form of government. God has always desired that things be done in an honest manner. Although mankind in his fallen state has always failed to be completely fair, and rather to be, they rather be dog eat dog. That's what we call it. It's a dog eat dog world. Only the strong survive. And I'm going to step on you and walk right over your head and use you for a stepping stone to get where I'm going. That's how people are. But God said, no, you be honest, do things right, and watch and see, don't I bless you? You know, and that's the highest government that there is. Selfishness, disregard for superiority, superiority complexes, and all other forms of self-autonomy, people want to make themselves big, the big kahuna, have always been rejected by God. But all seems to be the central way man naturally chooses to walk. Man wants to do that. You know, they want to walk around and be like Donald Trump. All right, you're fired. And then, you know, throwing his weight around and, you know, like you all that in a bag of chips. And you could have been born in another circumstance. You know, you didn't have to be blessed the way you are. So be careful how you trample over other people just because you have a little authority, a little power. We mentioned that last week. So look at Romans again here. Now, we know we were talking about how the Christians should interact with government. We're almost done here. He says, notice what God says about the government. For it is he is the minister of God to thee for good. That's why God set up government. Now, does government always minister to you good? No. Why? Because they're twisted, warped sinners just like the rest of us. Some of them will understand who they are and that God called us and that we're here. We have a high and holy privilege to do what we do to serve and protect. Some of them may be like that. There may be some saved folks in there. And not all law enforcement and all that is bad. I wouldn't say that. In fact, I'm happy that I can dial 911 and somebody's coming. You know, because a lot of other people worse than them. And so that's all. The good side of it is God set that up to protect so that the wicked don't just run over everybody and take what they want and do what they want to do. And you have no recourse. There's a legal way we can call and get some help. See, even with armies, governments, all that, that's all set up by God and supposed to work for your benefit. By and large, it does. Because we can generally
really live peacefully to the most part.
Yeah.
For the most part, every now and then we hear about some craziness that gets out of control, and usually the law enforcement is there responding to it. Sometimes they usurp their authority and use it wrong.
Yes, sir.
We see that all the time. But you know what? If you stay in with your mind focused on God, teach your children to be respectful to the law. You know, you be respectful to the law. I found that respect carries you a long way. My grandparents taught me respect your elders, respect everybody older. You say yes, sir, yes, ma'am. I do it right now, and I'll never stop, because it carries you a long way. You going around, yeah, yeah, what you need? Well, what do you think people gonna do?
That's right.
If you don't treat them with respect.
Right.
See, respect will carry you a long way. I think that's one of the reasons why, and we're talking about Black history, I'm just going to drop this in, they haven't had a Black electrical supervisor at the airport until now.
Right.
And that's me. And they haven't had any until now. And I'm not boasting, because God did it, and I give him the glory. You know, but they haven't had one. That was unheard of, a Black supervisor at the airport. Oh my God. No, that's not acceptable. See? And I don't boast about that, but God can put you where he wants you to be. And he'll take obstacles out of your way. And it's not a Black-white thing necessarily. You know, it's where you are in God. God can move you and put you in a place you never thought that you'd ever make it there. See? So all I'm saying, and I know this by experience, you know, I don't even necessarily want to be there now. I'm thinking about how can I get out of there and work in the church full time. I'm serious. And God said, oh, I'm going to put you up here in this position. I'm okay. At first, I didn't know I was going through changes here this past year, because I was called to the church right around the same time I was being considered to be promoted. And I'm thinking, okay, well, and I'm okay, I got the promotion now, but I'm still thinking about the church, because I know this work is extremely important. That work is important and it's dangerous. You know, this work is a little less dangerous. You know, I don't have any 35,000 volt people sitting in here to blow me to kingdom come. And the reason people don't know where Smithereens is that nobody ever came back from there to tell you. You know, when you get blown to Smithereens, you heard them say that. Well, nobody knows where that is, but in either case, but I trust God, and that's what I want you to see, is that if you trust God, and I had to go through some stuff in the years, my wife will tell you, you know, dealing with people who did not like me, did everything they could to keep their foot on my neck to hold me down, you know, talked about me like a dog every day, and I got up and treated them with respect every day, got right in their face, yes sir, how may I help you, you know, until God moved them out of the way and said boom, gave me their office and their job. Say, thank you. If you trust him, he can make it work for you. That's all I'm saying. So Paul says here that the government is a minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, look at that, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. God didn't give him that sword to spank you with it. A sword is something you kill people with. For he is a minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. That's the purpose of government. It's supposed to stop evil people from robbing banks and raping women and doing all the kind of stuff you hear people doing. You see, selling drugs and stuff that wrecks your life and makes it miserable. See, and by and large, they do that. They stop a whole lot of that. Every now and then you hear about somebody who spilt over and they killed somebody and it was not acceptable or whatever, but don't worry about that. That's the exception. You concentrate on respecting who God has set up to bless you.
Amen.
Now notice this. He says in verse 6, he says in verse 5, wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. You can have a clear conscience because you know God is the one who set that up.
Oh, yes.
So I'm going to obey it, even if it doesn't. Not unless they tell you to do something God said don't do. That's when you defy the government.
Amen.
You know, you may have occasion to do that. We get more and more opportunities as time goes on. For this cause pay ye tribute, he says. That means pay your taxes. Also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing.
Mm-hmm.
Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. See that? Now, and that one we have to take time on. We're not going to do it today because it's a big subject. But we need to practice and plan on being out of debt.
Yes.
That's a big one. That's stomping my toes too. If it's stomping yours, hey, it's stomping mine too. But God can get you out of debt. And we need to owe no man anything but to love one another. You know? And that's the highest law there is. Now I tell you, I'm convicted. A lot of people tell me, Pastor, I was convicted when you said it. You don't know, I'm convicted too. Just like you. I got the same kind of issues I'm dealing with and things. And he says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth has fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now what he does here is quotes the second tablet of the law, which is the first tablet is about man, about God. The first tablet is, the second one is about man. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. That's the five commandments that are not about God. If there be any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. See that?
Yes.
And now he says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law.
Yes.
True, selfless, pure love is the sort that Jesus manifested by his willingness to allow the weight of the entire fault of all the debt of all our sin to be cast upon him, so that his Father could be pleased with such wretches as me.
Yeah.
And that he could, that we could learn to share the greatest news in all of time freely with everyone, which shows that we are all debtors to the highest law.
We never love as much as we should.
Amen.
And however much you love, you can do it better.
Yes.
And if you trust God, you will.
Right. Yes,
you will. God can't love you anymore, the Bible says, than he does, because God does not change. The word says perfect love cast out fear.
Yes.
You know, and so God doesn't want you to be scared. He wants you to pursue a relationship with him, knowing that he loves you just like you are, no matter what you've done.
Yes.
See, I can say that confidently. No matter what you have done, whatever you're struggling with, God loves you.
Yes.
He gave his son for you. If you trust Christ, he'll wipe out everything you've ever done and declare you holy.
Yes.
When he sees you, he will see his son, Jesus, if you trust Jesus. That's the beauty of the gospel.
Yes.
In other words, I cover you entirely. I choose not to see what you did, anything that offended me.
Yes.
So if you were in sin, God says, you trust Christ, I cover you entirely. And all I see is Christ.
Amen.
No matter who you are and what you did. So if you want to be clean, one way that can be done, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
God says, I cover you with his righteousness. Every time I see you, I see Jesus.
Yes.
And I'm working on you in there, fixing up the mess that's in there. See, so if you want to be clean, understand that. We want to make sure you know that. That is the gospel, the good news. You can't do anything to fix yourself, but God has already done everything necessary to fix you.
Yes.
And if you receive it, the Bible says, to as many as received him, to them he gives the right to be called the sons of God, even those that believe on his name. So it's about believing. It's not about works.
Yes, it is. Oh, yes, it
you see,
is.
For by grace ye have been saved, Ephesians 2:8 says, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the gift of God. God has a gift for you. So that's what I get to do. I get the proud privilege to tell you God has a gift for you. He wants you to have it.
Yes.
And he wants you to know you have it.
Yes.
See? And if you have it, then that means you're clean and you're forgiven. There is no sin that will come before you at his just bar. None whatsoever will rise up because you're covered with the righteousness of Christ.
Yes.
So if you're here today and you have not been saved, we want to invite you to come. And if you would like to be a member of our church, we just open the door right now. If you'd like to connect with us in any way at all, either for salvation, membership, to be a part of our church, we want you to come right now. No matter who you are, come from where you are, and we will be ready to receive you. Amen. As many as received him, to them he gives the right to be called the sons of God, or the children of God, even those that believe on his name. Come right now. We have a place we can plug you in and get you active and involved in ministry. Amen. Every Christian is called to be a minister of some sort. There is a ministry for you, no matter what it is. There's some gifts God has given you that he'd like you to use and employ for his purposes. And so if you're here and you want